We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
So, are you ready for the Word of God? Yes? Praise God. You better be, because I'm going to really get into some nitty-gritty this morning. I'm going to shake a few foundations. Yeah? I want to say that now so that you're thinking, oh my, what's he going to say? Get you alert, right? So will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, not just to come into your presence and worship you and bless you and give you all the glory that's due your name, but we thank you for the privilege of coming under your written word and hearing your word and the voice of your spirit. So we ask you for wisdom and revelation, for enlightenment in the eyes of our understanding, that we can know the things that we're called to, that we can know what our inheritance is, and we can know the power that is at work within our hearts, Lord. Help us to understand these things more and more, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody says? Amen. Amen. Right. I have got a feast of scriptures this morning. I like, when I'm teaching, I like to use the Word of God to say more than what I can. All right? So I'm going to use a lot of scriptures. And we're still in Romans 8. We're going a little bit deeper into Romans 8 about living from the Spirit. If you haven't heard the podcasts about Romans 8 for the last sort of month or so, please go on, get online and listen to them. They're all there on our website. We talked about living from the Spirit before. We talked about the purpose of, or the function of the soul. We haven't gone into depth, but we got a good understanding that we were made in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit, just as he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're made in his image, in his likeness, three parts, tripartite being. That's who we are. Three parts and yet one. But I got a question for you. Do you, along with me, have a continuous sense that there must be more? There must be more. This can't be it. That's what's going on in my life personally. I hope that it's going on in yours. If it isn't, maybe you could just ask the Lord to stir you up a little bit on the inside. Because if this is it, it's not enough. It's not enough. To impact the world in which we live, it's not enough. There must be more. You might disagree with me there, but that's what's going on in my heart. I'm speaking in terms of being able to, that is, having the ability, the power, the strength, the authority, by permission, divine permission, an appointment, to be someone who is empowered by God to administer the kingdom of God into other people's lives, to touch other people with what is the kingdom life. That's what I mean by, do you have something inside you that says, well, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. So as a recap, spirit, soul, and body, we're instructed to be led by the Spirit, from within our spirit. We're not meant to live from our soul, from our emotions, from our intellect or our reasoning. There's a spiritual life to tap into that we are not yet seeing the fullness of. I'm not seeing the fullness of in my life. I'm being made more and more aware of what I actually have in Christ, but at the same time, I'm realizing that I'm not walking in it. And this is where I want to take us on this journey. This is not a woe is me or a sorrowful thing or a condemnation thing. This is, wow, Jesus, I can see what's written in your word. I want to lay hold of that for which you've laid hold of me. The cry of Paul's heart. Oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. So I'm going to talk about our spirit. What does our spirit look like? And ladies, any ladies here? There's one or two. There's one at the back. And there's a little one. Little baby lady. Ladies, please listen to what I'm going to say in this first part of the message. So, baby lady, is that? You're gonna be sick now, aren't you? I can see you gagging. Oh, your tea. Oof. Yes. Yes, Graham, elder of the church. You do have to listen. All us men have to listen. God is a spirit. He is a spirit. God is neither male nor female. He is a spirit. And we have been made in his likeness. He is a spirit that has characteristics which are masculine and feminine. But he's not male or female. He is a spirit. God does not reproduce through a sexual act. He doesn't need to. He's a spirit being. This is what God is. He is, we talk about him as him, and yet in Isaiah, he speaks of himself in some contexts as a mother, a nursing mother. Can a nursing mother forget their own child? Or in Hosea, he says he's like a mother bear protecting her cub. There are male and female characteristics to God, and yet he is neither male nor female because he is a spirit. Let's get that settled there. So in the creation of mankind, in Genesis 5, 1 to 2, it says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Then to expound on that, he says, he created them, male and female. And he called them mankind. So in the creation of man, God imparted a masculine part of himself into the man and the feminine part of himself, if you like, into the female, and he created a male and a female. You still with me? Yeah? So God is dispensing himself into mankind, still made in his image, but the masculine side there and the female side there. But remember, God is a spirit. So then in Romans 8, 14 to 19, it says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many, everyone, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that with our spirit that we are children of God. So it's gone from sons to children. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer. I better turn my volume off because I'm receiving texts. There we go. If indeed we suffer with him, that we might be glorified with him. There's a word called, I'll try and pronounce it right, anthropomorphism. Whoosh. It is giving a human quality or characteristic to a divine entity. So the Bible's using terminology like sons and children to try and help us understand as human beings that we are heirs or now descended from, born from the Spirit of God. Look at this, though, in Galatians 3, 27 to 28. There's a reason why I'm saying this. I'll carry on. There's always a reason. For as many of us, or you, as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Who have we put on? Christ. We've put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Now, when the New Testament speaks to us as children of God, we have to remember that we are spoken to as spirit beings, not men and women, unless there are roles to learn in our relationships on earth. But primarily, we are born of God. We are spirit beings. There is neither male nor female. And if you just want to just put one more nail in this to let it sink in, Jesus was questioned on this very point by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They wanted to catch him out. So they asked him a question about some woman who'd been married to this fella, and he was like the brother of six other guys, and every one of them died, and she married every one of them in turn. And then it says, so who's she going to be with when they go to heaven if there's a resurrection? Because she's married all of them. There's going to be this huge fight in heaven. She's mine. And Jesus turned and said this to them. He said, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God. Spirit beings. There's none of this flipping marriage and divorce business going on up there. Who's going to be with who? Me and Julie had our first probably disagreement as being a married couple. Yeah. We'd only been married 6 months and we were talking about the kingdom of God and all this business. And now Julie asked about, are we going to know each other when we get to heaven? And I happened to say this really stupid comment as a husband and a bloke, yeah, saying, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. And to Julie, that was like saying, we've been married 6 months and I've had a guts full already. That's not what I was saying, by the way. I was just looking forward to the return of Christ, you know, when all things are made perfect. But there we are. Yes. No marriage, neither are they given in marriage. Spirit beings. When God created us, he created us with physiological differences and soulish differences. So the physiology of a woman is so that she could reproduce, and her soul is made in such a way that she caught the feminine characteristics of God. Women are far more sensitive and more relational most of the time than men. That's the way they've been made. And men have the masculine side to seed, because God is a seeder. He's a creator. That is the way men have made, and they're practical. They like to hammer nails in rather than talk about feelings. So the two aspects, the idea was that when they come together, they become one and they complement each other, which then reflects the relationship between Christ and the church. You still with me? So in terms of our spiritual position, power, authority, purpose in Christ, there is no difference between men and women. I'm not talking about roles now, because there has to be roles on earth in order that we may have structure and have freedom to express in what God has put us into. But as far as who we are in Christ, women, don't you ever think for one moment that you are a second best person in the kingdom of God, or that you are not on the same level as man, because you have the same Spirit of God living inside you that I do, Graham does, and every other bloke here. You have the same position in Christ. You have the same authority in Christ. You are, start me off now. I better move on. Creation itself is waiting for us, ladies. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, this earth that we live in and everything to do with it, eagerly waits for the revealing of these sons of God, these children of God, these spirit beings. This world of ours is waiting for us to manifest. So how does all this come about now? I'm going to talk about spoken blessings. God creates by speaking. Are we all in agreement there? He imparts by speaking. So let's have a look at the first Adam. Adam himself, the original creation in the Old Testament. Genesis 1, 27 to 29. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and gave them, or told them, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the sea, and everything else. So God created man in his own image. And remember now, we're talking male and female. And God blessed them, not the man. He didn't tell the man, you have dominion, you rule, you woman, just help him. God blessed them. So Adam and you, Eve, rule on earth. Eve, have dominion on the earth. Subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. Can you see the harmony that's meant to be between men and women in the body of Christ? This whole message is not about women, by the way, but it's just something I want to put in there so that when we get to where I'm going, this is for you ladies. Because the church is guilty of making ladies feel like they don't have a place. Anyway, I better move on. I'll get all wound up. So he blessed them. Again, it's not about the roles that we have. The man has in the marriage, the man has the role of the headship, and the woman has the role to come alongside him in that and submit to that. But then he's supposed to love her no matter what, you know? There's meant to be a harmony within it. Why? Because you can't have two leaders. You have division when you have two leaders. It's just purely for structure and the way it's to be worked out. God imparted to them an authority and a dominion, and he did it by speaking over them. He blessed them and said. Yeah? He blessed them and said. He spoke over them. Isaiah 55, 11 says that my word doesn't return to me void, but accomplishes that for which I've sent it. It prospers in the thing for which I desire. So God spoke that word over Adam and Eve, and that was a done deal. The blessing was given, the dominion, the rulership, the fruitfulness, everything. So do we agree on this one? Well, let me ask you in a second. I'll ask you now. Do we agree that Jesus only ever said the things he heard the Father speak? Yeah? He only ever did the things he saw the Father do. Why? Because he was the express image of the Father. So when you look at him, everything he says and everything he does actually comes from our Heavenly Father. It was our Heavenly Father that spoke the blessing over Adam and Eve, over mankind. So now in Luke 9, 1 to 2, it says that Jesus called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure all disease, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, only the 12 were spoken over. So Jesus gave the 12 authority. He spoke this over them. It's the word in there to give is the word didomi, which means to give over something which is to be administered or to bestow upon, commit to, or deliver up to. And it comes from another word, didasko, which means to teach or to impart through instruction in such a practical way that it could be applied to your life. So Jesus spoke over the 12. He imparted into their lives what they needed in order to do what he was asking them or instructed them to do. And he did it in a way by teaching through impartation. So you still with me? He spoke over the 12. Let's carry on a little bit. Luke 9, 3 to 6. He said to them, take nothing for the journey. Well, I'm sending you out. Don't take anything with you. No staffs, no bag, no bread, no money. Don't have two tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there. From there depart. Whatever. Whoever will not receive you when you go out to that city, shake off the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they went about through the towns, preaching the gospel and doing what? Healing everywhere. So they now start to walk in the thing that Jesus pronounced over them or imparted to them by speaking over their lives. They didn't take anything with them because Jesus wanted them to start to learn that their Heavenly Father would provide everything for them on the trip, on the journey. As they were walking in the authority that was spoken over them and doing the work of the kingdom, so the Father looked after them in every aspect of their life. That's what they were learning to do. Hallelujah. And I move on a little bit. It was funny how he told them to go out. Take nothing with you. And just watch how God will provide for you. It wasn't long after that he turned around then to his 12 and said to the crowd there, the 5,000 plus women and men and women and children, give them something to eat. Feed them. Take what you've learned. Take what you've discovered from God and give it freely away now to somebody else. Freely you received, freely give it. So they're demonstrating all the healing, casting out evil spirits, raising the dead. They're doing all this because Jesus just spoke over them. And God provided for them on the way. And he's saying, do the same wherever you go. And they did. In fact, Jesus blessed the bread and the fish, didn't he? And he broke it. But then he gave it to the disciples, and they were the ones who fed the crowds. So as they're going, those baskets are filling up as they go in. Jesus didn't give them thousands of baskets full of bread. They walked in the provision. They walked by faith in the provision of God. They had to start walking for it to take place. Carry the basket with them. God will challenge us to step out before we'll see the provision. That's another subject altogether. Let's go on to Luke 10, 1. So he sent out the 12, and they're all like, whoopee-doo, this is fantastic. We can do all this stuff. Guess what he does then? Luke 10, 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. Anybody know the names of the 70 others? No. We're not told. Why? Because they're just random people that were walking after and following Jesus, part of his massive discipleship program. We don't know who they are, where they come from, what they have. Is there anything wrong with them? Are they nutcases? Well, I don't know. But he took 70 others. Oh, man. And he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was to go. And then in Luke 10, 17, it says that the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So Jesus imparted the same authority over the 70. He spoke over them, go into all the cities, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, raise the dead, freely you've received, freely give. 70 random people that we know nothing about. This is not the 12 disciples. Let me jump through the scripture. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, in verse 18. Behold, I give you, same word, didomi, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Can you imagine now? Jesus is going ape, yeah? He's rejoicing. He's jumping up and down. He's full of war passion. He's not like, oh, this is good. Yeah, awesome. Well done, boys. No, he's rejoicing. He's ecstatic. He rejoiced in spirit and said, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. Listen, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you have seen. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Jesus was walking in something that nobody else had seen before, and he was giving it to Fred, Barney, Cuthbert, Cheryl, Mabel, whatever random person was following him at that time. He appointed 70 people, not the disciples now, 70 people, and said, go and do what I did. I give you my authority and my power. I'm going to hit you with something in a minute. This is great. You ready? Hold on to your chairs, okay? Hold on to your chairs. Jesus gave them something that he had, something he possessed, something he walked in, all power and all authority over all the power of the enemy. And the Father wanted Jesus to give all these things to us. Freely you've received, freely give. Jesus, freely you've got all this, freely give it away. Disciples, freely you've been given this, freely give it away. Mabel, Fred, Barney, Joe, Cheryl, freely you've been given this, freely give it away. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give, didomi. Do the same that I've done for you for someone else. Impart into them what I've imparted into you. Give it away. We're called to rejoice in who we are, Jesus said, not in what we can do, because we can only do what we do because of who we are. Let that sink in a second. We're called to rejoice in who we are, not because of what we do, but because we can do what we do because of who we are. So rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So they're seeing all these works and wonders. Let's just want to balance that out by, don't get caught up in that, but get caught up in the fact of who we are. I am somebody that's received from Jesus all power and authority in his name to do these things. Rejoice in who we are. Now, this is the slammer. 12 disciples, 70 random people. Let this sink in again, just for a moment. None of them are born again. None of them are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And none of them even know about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. None of them. Let's sink in a second. None of them are born again because Jesus hasn't died yet. None of them are baptized in the Spirit because the Spirit hasn't been poured out yet. None of them even know about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ because they don't even know what that is. And yet every one of them is healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, feeding thousands, all because they believed that Jesus gave them authority to do it in his name. Are we missing out on something here? Are we missing out on something here? I don't know about you, but I've been taught over the years, I've got to press in to find something more, for something, for God to give me something special. What about these random 70 people? They weren't even born again. They weren't even in the kingdom of God. They were moving under the authority that Jesus spoke over them just to go and do it. You still with me? I told you it's going to get a bit challenging. Please go home, listen to the podcast, look at the scriptures, and ask God to show us, what are we missing out on here? Let's get better. Let's get better. The second Adam. So we've had the first Adam, Adam and Eve. Now we've got the second Adam. Somebody shout out who the second Adam is. Jesus. Jesus is the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, "And so it was written that the first Adam became a living being or a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit." Life-giving spirit. So he created something brand new. The old Adam creation is now coming to an end, and Jesus is creating a new creation, a life-giving spirit. So that's stage one. Jesus became a life-giving spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 18, stage two. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God." How many things are of God? All things. All things in what? The new creation. The new creature. All the old stuff is gone. Adam is gone. Everything of Adam is gone. The first Adam. Everything now is all of the second Adam. The life-giving spirit. And everything in the new creature, whoever is in Christ is a new creature, and all things are now of God. Stage three, John 1:12. "Those who have received him," Christ, "he gave," didomi, "to bestow upon, to grant to give to one as an advantage," that's what the word means, "he gave to them the right," which is a terrible translation as far as I'm concerned. The Greek word is exousia, which means power. "He gave them the power to become sons of God." Ladies, put yourself and make sure you are in that bracket, because there is neither male nor female in the spiritual kingdom of God. So he gave, he bestowed upon and granted to anyone that would receive Christ the power, the exousia, to become a son, a child, an heir of Christ himself. stage four, and I love this. Jesus created the new creature. He became the life-giving spirit. He then says, anyone now who is in me, I will create into the same creature. You're now a new creature in Christ. All things passed away. All things become new. All things now in you are of God. And I've given you the power to be this creature. Ephesians 1 to 3. Sorry, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, what tense is that? Past tense. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed there is the word eulogio, where we get the word eulogy from, which means to speak over, to invoke a benediction upon with every spiritual heavenly resource and provision, benefit in Christ. At the very point of new birth, God spoke everything over us. Everything, not just one or two things, but everything that was in Christ is now in us. We are a brand new creation, full of the fullness of Christ. That is our spirit. I know this is like, man, my computer here can't cope with this. Yeah, I've only got 1 gigabyte, then there's like 50 gigabytes here, and I can't handle it. That is who you and I are. That is what Christ has put into our spirit. All things are brand new and of God. Past tense, God pronounced a benediction, a eulogy, spoke over us and created a brand new creature full of every spiritual blessing there is in Christ Jesus. There are no, and keep your rocks in your pockets, right? Don't chuck them at me. There are no specially anointed people. These signs will follow them that believe. There's no special anointing. Why? You needed a special anointing under the old covenant because you were of the old creation. But in the new covenant, into the new creation, you have everything. It's already in us. It's just waiting to come out. There must be more. Let's turn this upside down, is it? We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. It's in us. It's in our spirits. We've been created in the image of Christ. It needs to come from the inside out, not try to pray it from the outside in. That is why we need to be sanctified. We need our souls to get out the way. We need these bodies to get out the way and let my spirit come through. Because the spirit is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when I touch somebody with my spirit, guess what's going to happen? Life. Life. God will challenge us on our soul life. Our stupid opinions and beliefs that don't line up with the word of God that we will so doggedly stand on and fight for. Those are the very things that put up the walls to trap your spirit. I know I'm passionate about this, but this is how I get inside. Yeah? There's so much more. I better crack on. Paul actually prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. He lists 1-3, every spiritual blessing. Then he tells us about that we are accepted in the Beloved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. And then he turns around and he prays this prayer, which you've heard many a time when I've got up here. Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, you are in Christ. I'm happy about that, he says. And your love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, let me put this in paraphrase, might show you what you got. Might show you what you got. Give you the wisdom, the revelation, the understanding to know this hope of God's call, to know the inheritance that we have in the saints in Christ, to know the power that is at work within us, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. He's praying that we would come to know it all because it's living within us. John 14, 11 to 12, Jesus speaking, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. Why? Because the works testify of the truth that I'm talking about. They are the demonstration of it, the outworking of the kingdom. Surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I'm going to do, they'll do also. And greater works than these will they do, because I go to my Father. Works. Works. That word, works. Greater works will you do. Jesus, in his head, in his mind, in his heart, his spirit, was saying, you will do greater works. There's works for you to do. Do you get that? Works. What are the works? Walking in the kingdom and the power of God, healing the sick, casting demons out, raising the dead, healing, cleansing the leper, preaching the good news of the kingdom. These are the works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are now his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Acts 10:38. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power and went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For this reason, the Son of God, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. You and I are in Christ. You and I have everything that was in Christ now inside us. We have been created for the good works that we should walk in them, just as Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do also. And there's no special anointing. There's no thunderbolt of lightning. You are the one. I'm finishing up. What are we going to sow into in our lives? In Galatians 6, 7 to 9, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man or woman sows, that is what they will reap. For those who sow according to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But those who sow according to the Spirit of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Our inheritance is wisdom, power, authority, health, material, financial provision. We've been given purpose, provision, power, position, presence, preparation, peace. Everything is all there, in there, in my spirit, waiting to come out. Philippians 2:13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work in you both to will and to do. Can I have the band up, please? Hallelujah. Has this been a bit challenging? I am reaching for this stuff. I'm reaching to do what I am called to do. I want us all to reach for the things that we're called to do. Don't get caught up with the church institution of, and forgive me, I don't mean these things are less important. I just mean sometimes we categorize and box things in the church like welcome team, eldership, deacon, hospitality, worship team. And we think that by doing these things, when I just think there's so much more. I think that somebody who is working in creche on a Sunday can go to Asda's on a Monday and raise a dead person. I think somebody who's working in the welcome team on a Sunday can go to Tesco's on a Monday and heal somebody from cancer. That's the possibilities that I see. And I do not want to be somebody that will sit back and join in with the status quo of church life when every one of us has the potential to change the world where we live. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to call people out as an appeal for this particular thing now because, you know, it's going to make other people who feel like they don't want to get out of their chairs, you know, obliged to come out the front or something like that. I don't want to do all that kind of stuff, right? Where you're sat. Where you're sat. If that cry is in your heart, then cry out to God in your heart. Let him hear it. Also acknowledge the fact that if you cry out like that, he does hear it. And help him, ask him to help you go on this journey of discovery to find out just exactly what it is that God has put in you and to walk in it. Now, can I just ask everybody if you'd stand for a moment? Yeah. If you are physically sick, if you are physically sick and you want prayer for healing, I'm going to ask you to come out. I'm going to ask a couple of guys to come out and pray with you. It's your right as a child of God to be healed because Jesus paid an incredible price for it to take place. You can't earn it and you don't deserve it. It was paid for freely by his stripes.